Hi everyone and good morning. Good to see so many people for the ALM track, so almost a full room, great. So I hope you all enjoyed Tech Day so far. The session for the next hour is titled Build, Deploy, Test with Visual Studio Lab Management 2010. My name is Peter Hazens. I'm a Visual Studio ALM MVP working for Sparkles, a company that focuses on application lifecycle management solutions on top of a Team Foundation server. Sparkles also organizes advanced IT training classes with international experts. I'm also the user group lead for the Visual Studio user group in Belgium. So just want to check who's already a member of the Visual Studio user group here. Okay, some hands and some familiar faces, that's good. So for those who don't know the Visual Studio user group, the user group is a free user group which organizes technical evening sessions on different Visual Studio and .NET topics. So feel free to go to our website. After the session, also collect some VSIG mouse pads. We have some to share with you. And we're also organizing next week a big event with Bartis Smet. He's also a speaker at TechDays here, and he will speak on reactive extensions. So first of all, we will have a quick look at the ALM offering from Microsoft with Visual Studio 2010. So ALM stands, of course, for Application Lifecycle Management. After that, we will spend some time looking at why bugs are so damn difficult to fix. So the real bug fix may be not that difficult, but it may take a lot of time to reproduce the bug. Next, we will jump into the goals and features of Visual Studio Lab Management. And I did prepare a demo for showing you how you can set up virtual environments inside Lab Management. And I'll also show you the Lab Management workflow, build, deploy, test. I want to end this session with some takeaways. And I'll also show you the support matrix for lab management. And hopefully we'll also have some time for Q&A. But before we start, I just want to see who's in the audience. So who's a developer here? Okay, almost everyone, that's good. Who's a tester? Not so many hands, that's a pity. I hope that also many testers would be present here. That's sad. Who's a IT professional? Some? Okay, some people, so good. The majority, of course, are developers. So my mission for today is really to create more awareness on the features and benefits of Visual Studio Lab Management. Who's already on, who's not yet using Team Foundation Server? That's maybe a better question. Who's not yet using Team Foundation Server? Okay, you still have some work to do. Who's still on Team Foundation Server 2005 or 2008, so on the previous versions? Also, some hands. And who's already on Team Foundation Server 2010? Whoa, okay, that's good. Good adoption here. And who is already using Lab Management? that's no surprise, actually. Okay, but we'll talk about this. So many of you may have seen this slide before, and it presents the big picture of the ALM offering from Microsoft with Visual Studio 2010. So in the middle, you have Team Foundation Server. And Team Foundation Server offers a number of services to different client tools that are able to connect with Team Foundation Server. So Team Foundation Server is more and more becoming a true collaboration platform for all stakeholders in the software development process. So in this talk, I won't talk much about the core features of TFS, but I will focus on the capabilities of the new add-on for Team Foundation Server, Visual Studio Lab Management. So Lab Management is actually an extension for the build automation feature in Team Foundation Server and allows applications to be easily deployed and tested in virtual environments. So with Lab Management, development teams will be able to provision test environments where applications can be deployed for manual and also automated testing. So Visual Studio Lab Management relies on Hyper-V, the virtualization solution from Microsoft. Environments can be set up by making use of existing virtual machines or also by making use of stored templates. Lab Management actually can be used for free once you have a valid license for Team Foundation server. So there's no server licensing for the product. Of course, you need to have the client tool. So you need to have Visual Studio 2010 Ultimate or the newly introduced Microsoft Test Professional tool that's included in the Test Professional suite. So lab management is free, but you still, of course, need to have the client tool. So there's no such thing as a free lunch here. So the question now is, why this addition for Team Foundation Server? Do we really need this? Can we use it at our company? What are the benefits? So let's have a quick look why this product was developed by Microsoft. So let's face it, applications nowadays are getting more and more complex, and it's quite difficult to reproduce bugs. The bug fix itself isn't most of the time that hard, only a few lines of code, but it's the effort and time it takes to reproduce a bug that can become very tedious. So, do you know the three top reasons why bugs are difficult to reproduce and fix? Anyone? Someone wants to help me here? It should be familiar for you? Yes, good one there. Someone else? The? Yeah. Okay, also good. Another one? Just an extra answer from the audience? Use your own? Environment, yeah, environment differences is also one of the top reasons. So let's get back to the list. So the first reason why bugs are difficult to reproduce and fix is poor documentation. So the developer actually doesn't know which steps to take to reproduce a bug. So that's the top reason. The second reason boils down to the same. The developer has no insight what the tester was doing at the moment the bug was discovered. So he doesn't know how the tester was navigating to the application when he discovered the bug. And the third reason, has been said already, is due to environment differences. So the environment the developer is using to reproduce a bug is totally different than the environment the tester is using to file bugs. So, and as a result, the developer often marks bugs as non-reproducible. So the statement here, the other person told it already, it works on my machine, so the bug is actually not a bug for the developer, and he sends it back to the tester as non-reproducible. So a lot of time is lost here by playing ping-pong between testers and developers, and time is, of course, money. So this brings me to the bug fix bingo game. Bug fix bingo is a fun testing game based on the traditional bingo game, yet with a software testing twist. So instead of using numbers, participants use statements from developers in defect review meetings. So we've seen already the statement, it works on my machine, but you can find some other funny statements like, you must have the wrong version, it worked yesterday, there's something funky in your data, but you type in wrong to get it to crash. So you see, it's fun to play. But there must be something wrong with the professional collaboration between testers and developers if they play games like this. So how can we improve or increase the collaboration between testers and developers? So Brian told me that you already saw this slide in the previous session, so I won't talk much about this slide. But indeed, it might be fun to play games like Bugfix Bingo, but in the end, it won't solve our bugs. So it should be clear for all of you that bugs must be fixed as early as possible. Bugs should get the highest priority. Otherwise, if you fix it later, it will cost a lot more. And that's why there should be a good collaboration between testers and developers from the beginning. In fact, testers should become part of the overall development team from the beginning. So when the first iteration starts, the tester can already pick up the first user stories and create a test plan with test cases to validate the user stories. This is really important. And many of you will know that, but it's sometimes very hard to enforce that inside an organization. You have to convince your manager. Your manager also needs to convince his manager, and so on. So this might be difficult to enforce. So today, we still see a lot of issues, how testers and developers work together. In fact, they work in silos, and they don't really work together, while they both have the same goal. They both want to release a high-quality product without bugs, right? So let's have a look what are the issues that the developer is faced with. So first of all, he's sick of getting poor quality bug reports, so he cannot reproduce the bug. That's also why he often marks bugs as non-reproducible. And he's also wasting a lot of time, or too much time, on deploying applications for testing. So to conclude, I can state that developers are spending too much time to reproduce bugs. That should sound familiar. On the other side, we have the testers, and also the testers have issues. They're also sick of getting of developers claiming that their bugs don't exist. They need to reopen non-reproducible bugs because it are really bugs. And also many bugs they log seem to be related to corrupt environment or invalid data. So it's also a big waste of time for them. And testers don't understand why it takes that long to deploy applications for testing. So testers today are not spending time anymore in defining new test cases because they are busy with other activities that are not that productive. So let's switch back now to lab management. So lab management is in the first place a product that will increase the collaboration between developers and testers, and it will avoid all the issues that are mentioned on this slide. The goals of Visual Studio Lab Management are actually quite clear. It will help to avoid non-reproducible bug situations. It will also reduce the costs associated with physical test environments. And it will dramatically improve the speed of environment deployments because it's all done in an automatic way now. Lab management will also improve the productivity and quality of software software development projects through better cross-functional collaboration features. And last but not least, lab management will also integrate your automated tests created by Microsoft Test Manager and Visual Studio 2010 in the build-deploy cycle so that the new build-deploy test cycle is born. So this last goal will make sure that your testers get more time to define new test cases that can be automated later on. It's really important to have a full suite of tests of your entire application from start to finish. So testers are too much repeating executing tests they did before. So try to automate your tests. Features of Visual Studio Lab Management. So with Lab Management, it will be easy to set up virtual test environments. So by making use of existing virtual machines or by making use of templates. So a virtual environment is not the same as a virtual machine. So a virtual environment can consist of multiple virtual machines, all managed by Visual Studio Lab Management. Lab Management will also allow you to test multiple configurations. So you can set up one lab build that will test your entire application on a SQL Server database, and you can also set up another lab build that will test your entire application on an Oracle database, for example. But the biggest feature for me of Visual Studio Lab Management is the ability to always deploy and test in a clean environment. The clean environment is enforced by using snapshots with Hyper-V. So Lab Management can always revert to a previous snapshot before the latest version of an application is deployed. You can also instruct Lab Management to take an additional post-deployment snapshot for additional testing. So you see, Lab Management is like a dream. It should bring a lot of happiness for the developers and testers. No more, no repro. That's actually the ultimate goal of lab management. No more, no repro. So on the previous slide, we saw all the interesting features of the product. The difficult part is not using the software, but it can be, or it is, a real challenge to set it up, to install it, and to configure it. That's probably also a reason why none of you are yet using Visual Studio Lab Management. So, if you ever want to try this out for yourself, good luck. The product has a lot of prerequisites, and you'll also need some IT pro skills. So, the first requirement for Visual Studio Lab Management is, of course, Team Foundation Server 2010. Lab Management is purely an add-on for Team Foundation Server. So once you have a valid license of Team Foundation Server, you can install it and use it. So there's no cost. The costs are by using the client tools that are able to connect with Lab Management. And you also need to have some kind of service of some infrastructure that's required to run your virtual environment. So you also need to spend some money on excellent hardware. Another requirement next to Team Foundation Server is a System Center Virtual Machine Manager. A license for this product is also included in the Lab Management product. System Center Virtual Machine Manager is a tool for managing the physical Hyper-V host machines from a central console. And Lab Management will communicate with System Center Virtual Machine Manager to be able to use the virtual machines and templates to create new virtual environments. So this is the environment I will use for my demos. So my laptop is actually only my client. So Visual Studio 2010 Ultimate is installed, and this includes also Microsoft Test Manager. Next to that, I have a physical server. The physical server is somewhere hosted on the internet, and that will be my Hyper-V host machine. Active Directory is installed, System Center Virtual Machine Manager, and this machine will also be my virtual machine library. And on that physical server, a number of virtual machines are running. For example, my Team Foundation server is running on there, and also a dedicated build server. But more importantly, I've defined already a virtual environment. The environment consists of two virtual machines. One virtual machine is my web server, where I will deploy later on a web application project. And the other virtual machine is a database server. SQL Server is already installed, but I need to deploy a database to complete my deployment. So I will use this virtual environment later on to deploy an entire application and to run some automated tests. Okay, so let's switch to the first demo, where I will show you how you can manage virtual environments for Visual Studio Lab Management 2010. So, to manage your virtual environments, you need to open Microsoft Test Manager. So I'm opening Microsoft Test Manager here. And Microsoft Test Manager has two areas. So one area is the testing center, where you can create your test plan, you can create test cases, you can run your test cases, and so on. But you can also switch to Lab Center. And Lab Center is the place where you can manage your virtual environments for Visual Studio Lab Management. So here you can see that I've defined already three environments, and one is actually running. That one I will use later on. One is turned off, and the other one failed. So what you must do in the first step, you need to have a virtual environment. So how to start? There are three options to create a new environment. So you can actually also create a physical environment by making use of physical machines that are already configured for testing. So a test agent is already running on one of your physical machines that you want to add to your environment. Another option is to create a new virtual environment. So there you will make use of virtual machines or templates from the library. And another option is to compose a virtual environment. So by composing, you will also use virtual machines that are already deployed on the host machine. Now I will use the second option here to create a new virtual environment. So I need to give the name. Take this 2011. And then I need to add a number of machines I want to manage in one virtual environment. So here at the right, you can see that a template is already available. So it's called Win 2008 R2 Lab Management Template. So how did I get to this template? Of course, first of all, I created a new virtual machine, installed Windows Server 2008 R2 with all possible updates. And after that, I installed three agents. Very important. So three agents: test agent, build agent, and lab agent. So the test agent is needed to run your automated tests later on in the virtual environment. The build agent is required to run your deployment scripts also on your virtual environments, on the different virtual machines in your environment. And the lab agent is needed to enable network isolation, to be able to resolve conflicts when you have identical environments later on which are using identical virtual machines. So you can install those agents manually on the virtual machines, but there's also a virtual machine prep tool available on MSDN Code Gallery. So I've also included a link to this resource, and it will automate the installation of the three agents on your virtual machine. So be sure to have a look at it. So the nice thing is now, so once you create a template of your virtual machine in System Center Virtual Machine Manager, the nice thing is that I can now use this template to create multiple virtual machines inside different virtual environments. So I always start from this template. So this virtual machine template can be seen as some kind of image that can be customized before it's deployed inside a running virtual environment. So here for this environment, I will add two new machines. One, I will give it a role as a web server. I can also give it a new name. So maybe test VM web. The other one can assign another role. So this is my database server. And I'll give it also another name. So you can add as many virtual machines as you want. So this template will be converted later on to a running virtual machine. The next step is important. Here you can specify the properties for your virtual machine. So like the operating system is already fixed, it's coming from a template. You can pass in some identity information, also an administrator password, a product key. You can add it to a particular time zone, and you can also add it to a workgroup or a domain if you want. So this is VM prepping. So later on, this will become a real virtual machine with the settings you apply here. So you can do that for the web server, also for the database server. The next step is selecting the capabilities that will be used. So normally you will select them all. So you want to run automated tests on the environment. So you need to have some connection also with the test controller. So the test controller must be already running inside Team Foundation Server 2010. You also want to enable to run workflows on this environment because you want to deploy certain stuff before you do your automated tests. So here you need a connection with the Team Foundation Server build controller. And you can also enable network isolation, so to avoid the naming conflicts. So I won't create it now, the virtual environment, but I've already created before, and it's running here. So it's called the underscore testenv. And this environment consists already two running virtual machines. So by right-clicking on the environment, I can connect to it. So and this will open up Microsoft Environment Viewer, where I will have a view on my a web server and my database server. So here I have a view on my database server, and so here SQL Server Management Studio is opened, and there's no database on it for now. I can switch to my web server, and a test agent is already listening for upcoming tests. And you can also switch to the other tab, the snapshot stack. So it's a feature with Hyper-V, of course, that you can take snapshots. And here you can see that this snapshot, TechDays 2011 clean, is the environment I will always use to deploy applications. So I will always be able to revert to this particular snapshot before I will deploy the latest version of an application. So on the snapshot, it's a snapshot, of course, across both machines. So on the snapshot, the database server has only SQL Server installed, nothing more. And on the web server, only IIS is installed, nothing more. So that I will tackle with the deployment scripts I want to launch in an automated build. Okay. So one extra thing I want to show you here is that once you have composed or created an environment, you can also store it to a library. So this one, when it's running, I don't have the option here to store it to a library. But on the stopped environment, I can choose to store it to the library. Then the environment will be available in the library. And from there, in your library, you can deploy new environments multiple times. So by just right-clicking deploy, you get the ability to create multiple instances of the environment that's stored into your library. So I really recommend using this way of working with environments that are stored in your library. Okay, so this is how you can manage virtual environments inside LabCenter. So let's switch back to the slides now. So now that we have the virtual environment, let's have a look at the lab management workflow here. So first of all, we need to have some kind of build. So this will normally be a regular build that will compile your entire solution and will give you output and drop location. You may also run some basic unit tests in this build. The next step is to... It's optional, but I would advise to use it. You can restore to a particular snapshot. So that's what I was showing before. So I create already a clean snapshot before I can deploy applications. And once the environment is restored, I can trigger the deploy task. And the deployment will start on the different agents in the virtual environment. Then an additional step, it's also optional, you can create a post-deployment snapshot. And this post-deployment snapshot can be used later on for additional testing. So your testers can run tests on this post-deployment snapshot to create, for example, new automated test cases. And the last step in this flow is the testing option. So you can also decide to run a set of automated tests after deployment has happened. So it's still all in an automatic workflow. Okay, let's see this in action and let me show you the build deploy test cycle. So I'm switching back to virtual machine here. So here I'm also running Visual Studio 2010 Ultimate. And I've created a demo collection, team project collection, with a team project lab management. And inside my lab management team project, I have a website. And inside my main branch, I have a solution. So I want to deploy the entire application that's part of my main branch. So the solution is already opened. And what's in the solution? So I have a web application project, so it's sparkles.website here. It's a normal, regular web application project with some other libraries, and I also have a database project. So you might not be familiar with a database project, but it's very handy because it's really part of your development experience. So each object is really inside version control. So all your tables, your stored procedures, your views, your security settings, your scripts to enter some initial data, it's all part of your database project. And by building this database project, you will be able to deploy it to one of the machines inside the virtual environment. So let's have a look at the properties of the website, of the web application project. So this is, for now, running on my local IIS web server. And there's a new tab in Visual Studio 2010, the package / publish web, where you can specify how deployment package must be generated. So here I'm choosing to include only the files that are needed to run the web application project, and in the end I will get a zip file, a compressed zip file with all the information that's needed to deploy the application. It can also include, for example, IIS settings. So the technology behind this is Web Deploy or MS Deploy. So I will use MS Deploy to deploy the content of this zip file to a Internet Information Server. Also for the database project, there are some properties. So here, by just building this project, I will get output. So I will get a DB schema file and also some other files. So maybe I will show you other files. So here inside the SQL folder, you get the number of files that can be used later on to deploy the entire database with data to a database server. Okay, so now I've explained the web application project and the database project. Let's create now a regular build that will have outputs that can be used in the lab management workflow. So under my builds here, I've already set up a regular build. I'll close this window. So I've already created a main a regular build for the main branch, and let's have a look at the build definition. So I'm using a custom build process template just to enable also some versioning on the build number, and also to stamp my output assemblies with the same version number. But in the end, it will just compile my solution and to run some basic unit tests. And one setting that you also must pass to the build definition is here the deploy on build parameter. So that will actually also tell the build server that it should also output the zip file, so the content of the web application project. Otherwise, by default, it won't happen. It's only done inside Visual Studio by default, not on the build server. So you need this property to get the content of the web application project. So if I look now at the latest output from the build, so here I have the 1.4.51.0 build. If I look at the drop folder, then I get a set of files that I can use later on to pick up in my lab build. So I get some DB schema files, deployment manifest, and also my zip file here with a command file which will call MS deploy to actually deploy the web application. So we have output. Now we need another lab build. So the last one here, _main_lab, is my lab build. Have a look at the build definition also. So here I'm using the specific lab default template. And that has a wizard in the lab process settings that can be used to define your entire lab workflow. So it contains a few steps. So the first step in my wizard is the environment step. So here I'm choosing an environment to target. So in Lab Center you saw already the three environments. So I will use the one that's running, of course. Only for demo purposes, I've unchecked this option to revert to a specific snapshot. So of course the The revert will take some time, and for demo purposes I've unchecked it. But I certainly recommend to always use it so that you will be able to always deploy in a clean environment. So now I've already manually reverted to the snapshot that's selected here. The second step is where you can specify which team build to use or which output from a build to use in Lab Management. So here I'm just specifying the other build I've explained, the underscore main build, and I will pick up the latest output. I can also set it to queue a new build if I want to make sure that I will have the latest version of an application. And also the build configuration. The third step is the place where you have the option to also deploy the build. So in this window, in this grid, you can see that I've targeted the available virtual machines in it. So the first deployment action here is to deploy my database. So I'm using a script to deploy my database on the testvm underscore database. The second deployment action is to deploy my website. So also a command for deploying my website on the web server. I will explain you later on what's inside the scripts. And just go over them here. And the last step is just an additional deployment action where I will override some configuration settings so that I'm able to connect to the target database that's on the TestVM database here. And at the bottom, you also have an optional action where you can take a post-deployment snapshot. That can be used then for testers who want to create new test cases. So it's also unchecked here, also for demo purposes. The last step is the place where you can define which tests or which automated tests should also run after deployment. So it can be a list of automated tests or only one test. It's part of a test suite. So here I'm choosing the automated test suite that contains now two automated test cases. I will also show you later on how this works. And I'm also selecting a test settings file. Okay, so this is the flow. I will start it. And in the meantime, I won't show it here. So while it's running, I will explain you more about the deployment and the tests that are part of it. So deployment. Inside my solution, I also have a configuration folder here, where you can find the command files I did use in the wizard. So the first one was to deploy the database. So I have a number of parameters, the drop location of the build, also the target database, a connection string that will be used on the lab agent that is installed on the database server, and I will use the vsdbcmd file to actually deploy the database based on the inputs that's available on the build drop location. So here you can see all the parameters that are passed to the vsdbcmd file. The other command is to deploy my website. So here I'm just using the command file that's also coming from the build drop location. So it's in there, msdeploy will be called to deploy the entire contents of the zip file. And the last step is just an extra copy of my config file that should be used inside the lab environment. Okay, let's have a quick look at the lab build. So here I can follow what's going on. So of course now there's no restore, and he's starting the deployment scripts now on the available agents inside my virtual environment. So he's starting here with the deployment. But I will switch now to Test Center to show you my automated tests. So here in my automated test suite, I see that I have two available test cases. So I'll open up one. The event registration test case contains a number of steps that should be executed on the web browser to verify this test case. And it's also associated with a coded UI test inside my solution. So the
Visual Studio solution contains also a test project. And herein I have the coded UI test. So this coded UI test was created first of all in Microsoft Test Manager. So the test case was executed manually. It was automated, so action recording was enabled. And afterwards, I exported the actions from Microsoft Test Manager towards Visual Studio, where I created a coded UI test, where I can add additional assertions if I want. And then it's part of my solution, and I can associate it inside my test case. So, and then it's really automated, and then it can be run after deployment. So let's have a look at the execution here. So he's busy with testing. So now, indeed, I'm a bit too late. So he's already, he has already deployed the database and the web application project, and now he's running the automated test cases. So he's opening Internet Explorer and running all the information that's passed inside my test case. So parameters that are bound to certain controls inside my web application. So he's doing also the feedback test case. And normally everything should be done now. So he's back online and my test has been run completely. So first of all, the deployment happened and then the additional or the automated test cases were run on the newly deployed environment. And now I will get a full report of what has happened. It's still gathering all results here. It's almost finished. So the things I didn't do was to revert to automatically revert to a known snapshot. So just for demo purposes, and I also didn't create a post-deployment snapshot. So if you want to do that, your build, of course, will take a bit longer. So now the lab build has completed. It has taken a bit more than 4 minutes, and it displays you the different steps that were taken. So he was using the Sparkles test environment. It didn't specify a clean snapshot. It's recommended, of course. Then the deployment was done with output from the build drop location, and we didn't create a post-deployment snapshot. And then we did run some automated tests. So we they did complete successfully, and we can open the test results if we want, but everything succeeded. So now what I want to do is to also show you a failing test and how you can use the output from a failing test to create a rich actionable bug. So I cannot use this build here because everything succeeded. But let's go back to Microsoft Test Manager and to my tests. So I have two automated tests that passed, but I have another test suite that contains another event registration test case. When right-clicking the test case, you can also choose how you want to execute this other test case. So it's also an automated test case. But I can choose to run it manually. And inside this window now, I can choose on which environment I want to run this test case manually. And also the test settings. I will come back to the test settings later on when I did the entire run of this test case. And I'm also specifying here a build, so my latest available build, of course. So every all information will be coupled to the build you're working on. So I'm running. Just open this window. So I want to run, indeed, a test on this environment. So I have a view on my web server and also my database server. So here I can actually choose to start my test. If I close it, I also have the option here to connect to an environment. So it's the same view I will have as a few seconds ago. But you can all manage it from the Microsoft Test Runner. So and there I have a clear view on the left-hand side of the steps to take. So I need to open Internet Explorer. So I'm for the moment testing on my web server. So I'm opening Internet Explorer here. Okay, so this step has been done. I navigate to my home page. It's also done. I'm navigating to training overview, done. I want to register for a particular training here. A bit further, so the Inhibernate training class. Takes some time. Okay, it's there. Also succeeded. And now I want to register online. Now it should normally fail. So indeed, an error occurred and my test is failing. So I'm marking this test step as failed. Also, I give some comments. Failure after clicking online registration link. I also create a snapshot, a screenshot of the error. It's also included in my test step now, and just let me end the iteration. So now it's a really important step. Now he's collecting all the information that's available inside my virtual environment. So I'm running the Microsoft Test Manager on my local machine, but I'm testing inside the virtual environment. So with the test settings file, I'll show you directly, you can enable which settings he needs to gather at the moment the test is running. So you can choose there which settings for IntelliTrace apply, which settings apply for your event log, or your. You can also enable a video recording to see actually what the tester was doing inside the virtual environment. So you have all possible options there. So here, the attachment, if I open the attachment, then I can see all the extra files that have been gathered on the other machine. So, for example, here you have the IntelliTrace log file. So it's from this window now, when I have a bug that has been discovered, then I can create a rich actionable bug. So here I can choose to create a new bug. When I give you a quick look at this window, I can create bug from demo. So here, in the details, you can see each particular test step. So the ones that passed are getting green, and the one that failed gets red. And it also gives me the comment I entered, and also the link to the screenshot. And on the bottom, I also have the other information that's part of my bug now. It's the IntelliTrace log file. I will switch back to the IntelliTrace log file in a few seconds, but I'll also show you the system information, also really important. This is to know on which environment your latest application was running. So you can see that I was running the Microsoft Test Manager 2 from my build server, but I also have the system information from my virtual machine, which run as a database server, and also my web server settings are included. So you have the operating system, the version service packs, the memory loads, so all the information that can be interesting for the developer to fix the bug. So I won't explain you exactly what IntelliTrace log file is, but for a developer it will contain a lot of detailed information to know what was happening at the moment the test was running. So the IntelliTrace log file is also attached here. So I can open the IntelliTrace log file to see what was going on at the moment the bug was discovered. So Visual Studio will open here. So it's a small window. But then you can really, like some kind of a video recorder, going back in time and inspect your code, what was happening at that moment in time. So you have the full... you have a lot of information to quickly determine what happened inside your code. So here I see an exception coming up. Sequence contains no elements, and it's indeed in my code when I want to call a method to get event details. So I want to get event details of the Inhibernate training class. So and this is where the program crashes. Apparently there's not an entry for the Inhibernate masterclass. So he returns with an error. So This way you can also set the debugger context and really navigate through your code the way you want. So you can go back in time to see what the properties were, what the parameters were that were passed to your method. So you have full information from your bug that was sent to you by the tester. Okay, so switch back to the slides now. So this is, was the demo of the lab management workflow. So what did we see? So normally in a normal run of a lab management workflow, we should have a regular build that only compiles your solution and maybe also some basic unit tests. Then you can revert to a clean snapshot for deployment. After you get build output from the regular build, like for example the DB schema file, you can create a new SQL Server database. And the other step is also to have MS Deploy zip file that can be used to deploy the web application project to your Internet Information Server. So these are the deployment actions that you can list in the wizard. Next, you can, it's optional, create a post-deployment snapshot to send it to the testers to do additional testing. And then the last step here is to run your automated tests created by Microsoft Test Manager and Visual Studio 2010. This screenshot I also added to show you how rich the debug is that you file as a tester to your development team. So you, get all the information with the test step information, and you can also include a particular snapshot in your attachments, so in your attachment of your bug. So inside your environment, at any moment in time, you can just create an additional snapshot and save the link to that snapshot in your bug. So it's also really important to really point your developer to the snapshot at the time you discovered the bug. You also have some reporting. So when you did some runs of your builds, you automatically get some details on your test progress, and also you can use your portal, your SharePoint portal, to look at some interesting testing dashboards to get more information what's the status of your test plan. Okay, so still have some time, so we can look at the takeaways. So first takeaway is to, if you want to start with lab management, investigate and spend some time in creating good environment templates for the library. So try to use the library to deploy new environments. So it's really easy to deploy multiple environments from these templates in the library. Also make use of the integrate experience as early as possible. So build, deploy, and also test. So be sure to have already some automated tests from the beginning. So in that way, testers will be able to create new test cases instead of retesting the same features over and over again. So they will have some more time to define new test cases that can be automated later on. And then they have again new time, or they will spend some time on automating those new test cases. Also, have a quick look at the collectors you want to enable for running your builds or your tests. So which settings of IntelliTrace should be enabled? Event log, video recording, all what you want. And last but not least, also extensively make use of the checkpoints and snapshots, and attach them to your bugs if you want. So you can just save a snapshot as a LVR file and also attach that link inside your bug report. I want to also show you the support matrix for Visual Studio Lab Management. I get a lot of questions on this, because indeed virtual Hyper-V virtual images are fully supported. So you can see all the features of Lab Management on the left-hand side, and every feature for Hyper-V is green. But you can also use physical machines inside an environment. So we can create a physical environment where you can add existing physical machines with the test agent also installed on it. But of course, some features will be missing. So you are not able to use the snapshot features. And also, you can use VMware virtual machines inside Lab Management. But be aware that VMware virtual machines will be treated as physical machines. So you also won't be able to use these snapshotting features. Okay, with some customization on your build process template, you might be able to also call some APIs of VMware to maybe also do some snapshotting actions on there. But it's not there out of the box. Okay, if you have more questions on that, or you're really troubled by this support matrix, just come and see me. Also include some resources. So if you want to play with it, there's a VHD available that contains all the machines that are needed to give you a look on Visual Studio Lab Management. Also a good presentation of Brian Keller, where you can drill into some features of testing and also lab management. So it includes also some videos. The lab management team blog is also a good resource to look at, so to know some best practices or to know some new stuff that will be added later on. Also a link to the virtual machine preparation tool for Visual Studio Lab Management. I've also included a link to a screencast I did a few months ago on lab management that will also explain the build deploy test cycle. And also a link to Visual Studio ALM ranges page. So in a few weeks' time, I think they will publish also a best practices guide on using Visual Studio Lab Management. So have a look at the link and follow up what they are publishing. And some books where you can also information on Visual Studio Lab Management. So there's a book, Software Testing with Visual Studio 2010, from Jeff Levinson. Also, the Professional Application Lifecycle Management book is a good resource. And there's also another book on software testing using Visual Studio 2010. Okay, we are done. So I want to thank you for coming, and come and see me if you have additional questions or if you want to pick up a VSIG mousepad. Okay, thank you very much.